Welcome, welcome everyone to the So You Think You Can Dance Wrap Up podcast. I am so happy to be back here with Kelly, recapping everything that's going on in the Academy. I have had a very busy couple of days with podcasting between Big Brother and American Ninja Warrior, but I am happy to be back in my comfort zone with my favorite show of the week, So You Think You Can Dance. And I am here with Kelly, who is freshly back from San Diego Comic-Con. Kelly, how are you?
I'm good. So my voice is on its way out. You might be able to hear. So apologize to everyone for the fact that I sound like a raspy person today. Although I do have to thank you for all of your like over the weekend crazy Big Brother work, because I just flew from San Diego to Toronto and the whole time I just listened straight through to just like Lita talking about Big Brother. It was delightful.
Yeah, I'm sure that you are not sick of my voice at all by now.
No, definitely, definitely. You can always have more Lita in my life. That's great. Aww,
thank you. How was Comic-Con before we get into everything?
It was good. It was busy. It's Comic-Con is bananas. I don't know if anyone's ever been to Comic-Con, but it's a lot. So I sort of hide in the I go as press, and I always bring one of our staff writers with me, who's like a really big, like a hardcore nerd who's really interested in going to panels and parties and the floor and all that kind of crazy stuff and interacting with cosplayers, so that I can do the TV panels and just talk to like celebrities and other bloggers all day, which is interesting. So I basically just like asked people a lot of questions. I accidentally insulted Victor Garber, so that was eventful. I accidentally led him to believe that I don't know who he is, which could not be further from the truth. I'm obsessed with him. So there's that. Yeah, it was an interesting weekend. It was a lot. And I'm taking off first thing in the morning to head out on another review trip. So I'm tired.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, well, thank you so much for squeezing us in.
Well, thank you for we're doing this very late, everybody. Lita very graciously agreed to record at 11 p.m. so that I could have time to get off of my plane and watch the actual episode before recording this, which is probably, you know, best. We wouldn't want me to be just be like, somebody went on Allison's team, I'm sure.
You just do it without watching the episode.
Yeah, just like guess. Yeah. Which you could maybe do in the live rounds, just be like, and then Nigel said something gross and you're like, whoa, that did happen.
Dead on. Yeah. So just a couple things to go over before we get into all the action. So going back to last week, we got some critical information about why Lex Ishimoto went to Gabby's team.
This blew my mind.
Yes. Yeah, so it turns out that these two had worked together in shaping sound, as you know, in Travis Wall's production, as co-workers. So they go way back, which is probably why they did not show us picking a team.
Yeah, I'm wondering this because they acknowledged that he was in the company. So it does feel very strange and kind of unfair that he's just on his like former partner's team, so I wonder if they're ever going to acknowledge this.
Yeah, I honestly doubt that they will.
Yeah.
I think it seems a little suspicious, a little too advantageous for Lex, which is something that we were a little bit concerned about even before we knew that he knew Gabby.
Which is too bad because he totally has the goods to do it without having any sort of advantage. So the fact that he has this sort of cloud of weird feeling like he has an advantage over it, it is really too bad, because I absolutely know that he's a good enough dancer that it's not helping him in any sort of interesting way.
Oh, for sure. I think that Gabby would be crazy to not pick him as her partner regardless, but the fact that they are probably friends certainly can't hurt.
Yeah. So thank you to Jay Mansm, who left the comment informing us of this fact.
Yes,
and sorry that I don't know your actual name, Jay Mansm, according to your commenting icon.
Yes, and another clutch piece of information we received from a listener was that we were confused about why there were 100 people that went to the Academy, but there were only 98 there. The Russian twins who did their kind of performance art piece were not able to acquire visas in time. That is from Nigel Lithgow's Twitter.
Okay, because I was wondering about that, and you're right, I did not see them, so that makes perfect sense, and now all questions have been answered.
Yes. And a listener pointed that out to me from Nigel's Twitter.
And another person, we love our commenters because they're just clarifying. They're answering all the questions of research that we didn't do ourselves. So Amy Kay informs us she's keeping us up to date on fiction and the world of dance situation.
Yes.
So she says that he's advanced to the latest round and is currently on two dance shows at the same time, which we still don't know how that's working or what's pre-taped and what's not. But we'll see. she's watching both and keeping us informed about this weird fiction situation.
Yeah, for now it's fine because we're still in all very pre-recorded from So You Think Can Dance. But when we start to get into both shows having live shows, I imagine they're both in LA. Is fiction just like, you know, Mrs. Doubtfiring?
Is World of Dance live? Are we sure about this?
I'm not sure. I have no idea.
I have no idea.
I guess I just assumed because it's a performance reality show and generally they are live.
Yeah. Unless J-Lo's making all the decisions, right? Like, maybe she just was like, her and Derek were like, you know what? The fans aren't as smart as us. And we're just going to pick someone and call them the best dancer.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. If I was trying to assign someone the task of picking the best dancer and it had to be a single person's decision, I wouldn't feel that bad about it being Derek Huff's decision.
Honestly, or J-Lo.
Yeah, or J-Lo, actually. I could handle that.
I trust them both.
That's fine.
So getting into the episode, it's day two of the Academy, and that means contemporary with Travis Wall. And Travis says that he's not interested in building robots here. So maybe a little bit of shade at certain people on RHAP, but he's not interested in building robots. So he he has some freestyling at the beginning, which I think is fine. But I also feel like these dancers should not need 30 seconds of freestyle to show their individuality and personality through the choreo.
Agreed. And also we've seen so much of their solos at this point that we really do just need to see if they can do choreography. But you know, I mean, it's nice, I guess, to not want to build robots, functions though they do serve. I don't know. I thought it was fine.
It's a good point that he's not just trying to see who can follow the steps and dance by numbers and all that, but we've seen plenty of freestyling. So
do we know how long these routines are? We know they're learning them in an hour, but do we have a sense of the length of the routine?
They really seem like they're, including the freestyle, maybe 45 seconds.
Yeah.
They're very short. Because I think that we do see them from beginning to end from time to time.
So in which case, I'm cool if he adds 15 seconds of freestyle onto the front. Mm-hmm. I would prefer that he not spend 15 of his allotted seconds on
freestyle. I'm sure that that's not the case. I think that it's more a matter of like, how much choreography can you reasonably expect people to pick up and execute perfectly in that amount of time, rather than just like the producers being like, Travis, you've got 40 seconds.
Yeah, that's possible. Who knows? I will say, though, watching these routines that they learn in an hour, everybody does them so differently.
Yeah.
and people who they're saying, oh, so-and-so did a good job and so-and-so did a good job, but they look nothing alike. I'm just like, what was the actual choreography? I would like to know.
Yeah, it's hard to say because it could be one of those things where, as I'm used to like performing with a team where it's like everything has to be exactly the same, it's very possible that Travis is just like, and then you do a tilt, and that can mean doing whatever you want with your hands, however you comfortably do that move. And that's part of it. And I think that is a good thing because it allows people to show their personalities rather than just being like, and your attitude, it has to be at this exact angle, because that's not really the point.
See, now, and I was just about to suggest that they put a control subject in there, like a like a choreographic assistant to do it, to like demonstrate what's supposed to be happening so that we can compare.
That is a very scientific approach to So You Think You Can Dance.
I do science. No, I don't do science. I don't know science.
Well, you just said control group, so you could have had me fooled.
Yeah.
So we get some little interviews that are happening. So just to set this up, at this point, the options are same as last week. You can just go home or you can get drafted to a team. There's really not much else. There's one more round after this, but for the rest of this episode, we're going to see that you really have to be on a team to advance.
At the start of this day, we have 67 dancers left. Do we know how many spots there are left at the start of this day?
I don't know. I imagine 20 something, because most people seem to pick up two or three.
Yeah. All right.
So we get a little interview with Taylor Sieve, who wants to be on Robert's team.
Oh, thank God somebody wants to be on Robert's team.
Yes, and she dances and she does very well. And we get this super funny, I laughed out loud at this, where Robert makes an offer and then he stands up and he paces back and forth in front of all stars. And he says, does anybody else want her on his on their team? And no one else makes an offer, and Robert has his first person.
I love him so much. I wonder, though, like, to jump ahead a little bit, when we look at Allison's team as a whole and some of the other teams, but Allison's is really the one that stands out. It looks so strong.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if this really does long-term hurt Robert. Like, I wonder if he got a bunch of B players because a bunch of the A players turned him down. Because for him to not get a single person on his team until round two, and then he picked that he automatically had three people. So he has a bunch of people he picked up in round two and nobody from round one. I'm wondering if he is going to end up with not as strong of a team, comparatively speaking, because of like weird edit issues and stuff that he can't necessarily control.
Yeah, that's very true. And there are kind of a lot of things going on with this format that I think once we get later in this episode to kind of look at an overview of the teams we can talk about, especially with the group round. But for now, Robert has a person on his team, and that's what matters. And then he adds two more people, and I have their names written down, but I don't even know who they are. So
Well, I was feeling that this whole episode, to the point where I tried to make note, like I made my notes, and then at the end of the notes, I was going to ask you if you had like predictions of who were the partners were going to be in going into the live shows. And then I spent 10 minutes trying to find someone online surely has made little diagrams of who is on each team.
Yeah,
because I was going through and other than like a few of the obvious ones, I couldn't remember the names of any of the people I think are the front runners, let alone the people who aren't the front runners.
Like, yeah, even in the group round, I was not able to identify entire teams. There are people I didn't know.
Yeah.
So that's
some of my favorites. What is the name of that lovely Japanese girl who's with Marco? Like, what is her name?
Queen A. It's spelled K-O-I-N-E. I wrote it down this week. It's pronounced like
say it out loud for us so that we'd learn how to pronounce it.
She was on the screen for a minute today.
Yeah, because she was partnering Vasili.
Yes, Vasili. Yeah,
it's so impossible to learn everybody's names in this format because we're spending so much time with the All-Stars. Like, even Paul got screen time today, which is crazy.
Yes, even Paul. So we get also Ariel DeSascio, who has the mom that she's close with, who looks exactly like Leighton Meester, and she... does fine, but she gets cut, and I have absolutely no issue with this. I think I was with Angela that week when we were talking about this is one of those girls who has just a purely competition background and absolutely no originality.
I feel that Leighton Meester might be your Danny Tidwell, because this is the second podcast you brought her up on.
Because it's in the context of Ariel DeSascio, who
was
looks
it the
like
same
her.
Both times?
I think so.
Are you sure?
Well, that's the note that I have about her. I have 0% body fat, Leighton Meester. Those are my two bullet points.
Okay,
so I imagine those are the same as what I had before.
Fine. Yes, but I'm all for the Leighton Meester love, so it's fine.
She might have come up because I probably was talking about Adam Brody for some reason.
Well, I think you said I like her because she's married to Adam Brody, which like,
yes,
I like her for other reasons, but also mainly for that one. Yes, you're right.
Yeah. So, and this is where we learn in this round that now we are going to have the judges, the All-Stars, whatever, give feedback immediately after they perform. What do you think about this?
Now, do we think that that actually happened, or do you think that's an editing thing?
I feel like it probably actually happened, but I'm not sure.
Because I don't know why, other than like for our viewing pleasure, like it's easier to follow for us. I don't know why they would do that. And other than the fact that they probably realistically picked their teams after the solos.
Yeah.
So at this point, they're just sort of biding their time and like how well somebody does in the contemporary. I don't know that it actually makes that big of a difference.
Yeah, I think that this is not a good way to do things. Just from a viewer perspective, obviously, you're right. It's easier to follow. But I think it just when you give judgment, when you've only seen one group out of 20 groups that are going to go, you just don't know what the standard is. And to be drafting someone or rejecting them when you haven't seen how everybody does in contemporary, I think is a problem. But you're right in that a lot of people, I'm sure, have already made their decisions, basically. These might be like tiebreakers.
And you're right. And that's why you'll often see on certainly the American Idol line was always phone lines will open after the show.
Yes. Yeah.
Because you have to wait till you see the last person so that it's not a huge advantage to go first. And if they actually did do it, it feels kind of unfair to do it in this order. So I'm kind of hoping that it was an editing thing and they're just showing us this because we did see a couple. It's going to come up later with Paul, but I feel like there have been a couple things where they had one spot left and they were sort of thinking of someone, but then someone else impressed them and they gave that spot away. And then they were just like, well, that other person is automatically cut and they might have regretted that decision.
Yeah. Kind of a strange choice, in my opinion, but I'm hoping, I'm with you, I'm hoping it's just an editing thing. So we get Chaz Wolcott, who I can't believe is still here because we see a little bit of his hip hop and I was, I mean, I like him. I just after seeing the clip of his hip hop, I was like, oh, whoa. So this is the guy who was on Broadway. He's great. He seems to struggle a little during contemporary just because every single thing he does looks Broadway. No matter what. And at this point, I'm thinking I don't think anybody has a tapper on their team. And I'm sad because they do send Chaz Wolcott home.
Yeah, I don't think there are any tappers this year.
Yeah. So nice work, Gabby. Really changed the whole So You Think You Can Dance scene forever.
Here's the thing about Gabby, though. Gabby got Lex immediately. And she also always knew she was going to get Lex because of this new revelation. Yeah. Right. So she didn't even have to gamble on anybody. Everybody knows that she's going to eventually pick Lex as her partner. So yeah. Gabby's just purely going through the motions at this point. She's probably not paying any attention to anybody.
Yeah, I was more just sarcastically saying that even though she's a tapper who won, she didn't really do much to advance the credit of the tappers. Sad news about Chaz Wolcott. Yeah. And he can't come back because he's an elderly person at
an elderly
29.
Man of 29.
He must still
now.
Go
send him to the glue factory.
Yeah, send him to dance assisted living.
Aww.
It's over. There's sad.
When you go to the National Ballet of Canada, because all the patrons are really, really old, they have this advertisement in the program that they've sold to some company that specializes in finding personal service workers who have an interest in ballet. So they got this ad targeting the old people at the ballet saying, would you like an older companion who you can talk to about ballet? So now he's going to
So that's Chaz's future.
Lively career, keeping old people company, discussing his former dance career.
Yes. But hey, good news. Havoc and Classic are still here.
Which shocked me.
Yeah, me too.
How did they get this far?
Well, there was the hip-hop round.
Yeah, I guess it was the hip-hop round, wasn't it? But I also, I remember thinking when we first saw them that I wasn't sure that they would be able to be separated. But Havoc solo was great. Good on him. He's obviously a perfect match for Cyrus. So I'm happy to see that happen.
For sure.
If only so that even if he gets eliminated, he'll clearly get a spot in Dragon House and they'll be buds. It'll be fine.
Yeah. This is another thing where it's contemporary, but it's still so hip hop, everything they do, which I think really works. Yeah, it really works for someone like Cyrus. The problem is that they're not very good at actually doing the choreography. Mm-hmm. Classic more so than Havoc just kind of totally falls apart and he is cut. But Havoc is told to dance for his life directly by Cyrus. This is not a group decision, and of course he danced through his life. He's amazing. He's immediately drafted to Team Cyrus.
So a couple things. One, has anyone ever been asked to their life to dance for their life and then been cut?
Because I have to say yes. I can't think of an instance, but
I mean, I think that back when Dancing with Your Life for Your Life was more of a central part, like it was actually considered one of the stages of it.
Right.
And to be not asked to dance for your life was more of a almost like going straight through.
Mm-hmm.
Back when it was more built in, certainly there were people who were cut after it. Nowadays, it almost feels like we want an excuse. We want you to go through, or we want to pick you or whatever. But we feel like we don't have much ground to stand on based on your most recent experience. So we need to like remind everybody about your solo so we have an excuse to put you through. Because yeah. They don't do it often. So I feel like that's sort of the tone these days when they have someone dance for their life. And he was always going to, like, as soon as he asked him to dance for his life, we knew not only would he go through, but also the way that Cyrus said it. You're right. It didn't sound like a group decision. So it was sort of very clearly, you will then be on Team Cyrus.
Right. And the solo, to his credit, is very, very good. And Comfort Excellent. Is yeah. dancing in her seat, and it's just extremely infectious.
I will say this. Crew of All Stars is the best audience ever.
Yes, they're so fun.
So satisfying to perform for.
They're just like during the contemporary, they're like gasping, and then during the ballroom, they're like woo, like yeah. constantly.
Yeah, they're pretty fantastic.
There's also the element of like proud parents when yeah. someone's already on their team. They're looking yeah. on and being like, yeah, that's my boy.
Although that had a weird dark side this episode, I thought, where like specifically it stood out to me when Fiction was talking about somebody, I think his name is Kyle, on his team who was doing the contemporary, and he was super, super terrible. Fiction had already picked him, and right. they had him do this weird voiceover where he was talking about how Kyle like really killed it and was like doing some of the technique as well. But the video was like actively contradicting everything Fiction said. And so like, there was a certain bit of a like, I mean, that person's not mine.
Yeah.
Sort of strange.
Yeah, I don't even know who that is. So that yeah,
exactly. He's like a non-existent person. Meanwhile, yeah. we got a little bit of a glimpse of like a tiny little glimpse of Desi, who like is going to be, if Fiction is anything on this show, it's on her back.
Yeah.
Yeah. This season.
Mm-hmm. So ultimately, 14 more dancers go home during the contemporary round. No one I really recognize.
No. You know who I was, what I was thinking about, though, is these were little groups of three that they performed in. Mm-hmm. And they, most of the groups, they did a spotlight package on two of them. So, like, imagine being the third person. It's not like they were groups of five and they spotlighted two, or even groups of four. And like, it felt like almost a perfect slight. Like, they were like, you are the uninteresting one, more than the fact that these are the interesting ones.
Yeah, that's true. Sad. I yeah, recently learned this is oh my god, this is such a tangent, but did you know that Raven from the season of Big Brother auditioned for So You Think You Can Dance? Because I recently learned that.
No, but that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, she never even made it to television. Like yeah. she did not make it to like anywhere that we would have seen her on TV, but I was like doing a deep internet stalk of her, and she had posted her like number on social media.
Why? We're used to she's the most boring person ever. Why would
because,
she do internet
because
stuff?
She lied about where she went to college, I think, and I really? Wanted to verify that. Yeah,
that's such a weird thing to do.
Well, I can't say for sure that she lied about where she went to college. It's very possible that she transferred, like she went to two different colleges, but Arkansas is all over her social media, and she said that she went to Belhaven. So I don't know. I just went really far back to see like what was up with that. And I found her So You Think You Can Dance number.
All right. Your life choices are your life choices, Lita. It's fine.
I also have a GPA in dance.
Yes. So we hear.
So anyway, and so 14 dancers are cut and 9 more are drafted to teams. So now there are 10 spots left and 19 people going into the ballroom round. So the odds are, you know, pretty 50-50 here for people.
Well, it's better than two and one, or one and two. It's like, oh my god. It's better than one and two. Like, these are pretty good odds. I will complain again that we didn't see these 9 dancers get drafted, because I don't know anybody on this season. It is absolutely the editor's fault.
Yes, absolutely.
This is way too condensed. Even one extra episode of Academy would make more sense because this episode was incredibly rushed.
Yeah, that's very true. So, yeah, we got 10 spots. There's one spot on each team. I'm not sure whether the producers told them that that was how it's going to be.
Absolutely mandatory.
Yeah, okay.
there's no way otherwise that Allison wouldn't have just filled her entire team in round one and set herself
up. Yeah, that's true.
Like, you know, like, absolutely, that had to be mandatory because otherwise, how does it happen?
Yeah. So it's time for Ballroom with Dimitri. And at this point, it's draft or die. You either go on a team or you leave. Or you go on a team and then immediately leave, as we saw with a lot of people.
Yeah, this was a lot of people who were about to just get immediately cut because they are clearly like, this is really not a nice thing to call someone, but they're clearly like the dregs of the group. This is where one might see, oh, I don't know, Jensen
Arnold.
Robert's team. I literally shouted out loud. I was like, what the hell? It is one thing for that girl to go on any other team. Robert? What?
To be fair, she does very well in the ballroom.
She's a ballroom dancer. Although I will say, Vasily gets onto a team without having done well in ballroom. So
he is a ballroom dancer. Yeah.
Who knows what these people are thinking at this point? I want to say that they got producer coaching because you saw a lot of people get picked here who were spotlighted early on and not necessarily very good dancers.
Yeah, it also could be the thing of like, I don't know that this is something that happens on The Bachelor, but I have to imagine it does, where sometimes you cut people that you're on the fence about before you cut people that you know you don't like, just to make the decisions easier as it goes along. So
yeah,
maybe they just wanted fat to trim in the group round or something.
Yeah, but except on The Bachelor, there's the date convention so that a lot of people they're not sure about get one-on-ones and then they like get cut, whereas someone who they don't like very much at all gets dragged along because they've gone on like 17 group dates in a row and there's just no real reason to cut them.
Yeah, so it's possible it's happening, but Jensen does go to Robert's team and Vasily, he does not look like a ballroom dancer in this, and he's like about to get cut. They're like in the middle of the sentence telling him that it's the end of the road, and Paul is just like, apparently his ballroom is insane, so he just has to grab him up, and I'm just gonna take Paul's word for it.
Listen, his partnering Christina and their creative choreography is insane. Vasily is not the magic in that duo. Like, sorry, I'm so sick. Oh my god, so dying. I'm so sorry, everyone.
Hey, Vasily is not that bad.
You know what it was? I felt like it was like I was being mean to Vasily, and like the like malicious overlords were like, stop with the cruelty, Kelly. We will stop your voice. No, so he's clearly not like the magical ingredient there. I have a couple questions. First, we'll finish Vasily, then we'll go back to Jensen for a second.
Okay.
First of all, Paul says, I had other plans, but I just have to take you. This is clearly a bad decision. We learn very quickly that it was definitely a bad decision. Who were Paul's other plans? Like, who is this person who doesn't get on a team because Paul made a rash decision about Vasily? Like, come on.
Well, it's possible that the mysterious other person did get drafted to another team.
I doubt it. I feel like, and you know what we definitely know is that it wasn't a ballroom person, because what he says is, I don't want to take too many ballroom people, and that's why he was hesitating about Vasily. So it was like maybe that was our tapper. Maybe it's Paul's fault.
I don't know why you wouldn't want to take that many ballroom people. Like, you only pick one regardless. So if you're fine with that one being a ballroom person, then sure, load your team up with ballroom. It's not like America's gonna vote on your team as a whole and be bored if they're all the same style. Allison took all the same style plus one.
Yeah, well, it is. On one hand, I understand the wanting to be diverse, but there was a season of The Voice where I think it was season two, where Christina Aguilera was determined to just pick the best person, no matter what their genre is. I don't care. And then she ended up, her finalist was an opera singer. And then in the finale, they had to sing a duet with their partner.
Oh, no.
Last remaining person. And she had to do the prayer with this opera singer. And it was just like not the right song for her. And she was totally out of her depth. And she's an amazing singer, but like it just went really badly. And the next season she comes on, she's like, I'm really dedicated to pop this year. I'm only picking pop pop singers. And I'm like, I wonder what happened there. Did someone maybe make me look bad? So like if Paul has a hip hop dancer and then he has to partner a hip hop dancer, he's going to look bad because he's going to be overshadowed so dramatically.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't think that there's any poor strategy in picking a bunch of people of your style.
Yeah, it feels like a weird, unpopular thing to do, but I just think it's smart. I also think for the ballroom dancers, and again, as much as I love that they're able to be and the show is open to them picking whoever they want, it's more fair. They should really be focusing on Paul should be looking for women and Jenna should be looking for men, because that's, let's be realistic, who they want to partner. Whereas like comfort, it doesn't matter as much. But with ballroom, it's just, it's going to be a thing. Like, you just know that that's who they're eventually going to end up with. So let's just bite the bullet early and deal with it now so we don't have to deal with it later.
Unless Paul and Jenna are very committed to representations of LGBT ballroom.
Do they seem like they are?
I don't know.
I'm not giving them enough credit, but they all, I don't know.
I'm trying to think of, I know that there are a ton of styles that we've seen same gender. I'm trying to think if we've seen a same gender ballroom routine.
We did one time in auditions and Nigel was really gross about it. And that's it.
Yeah, well, because sometimes on the main stage, they do this thing at like the very first episode of the top 20 or top 10 or whatever, where all the people who are of the same style do a dance together. So we saw, Whitney and Lindsay both be in a ballroom routine together, but there was a guy in the middle.
Oh, we've seen like what is the equivalent of the Dancing with the Stars trio numbers, right? Where there's sort of like they do almost like a sandwich.
Yeah, we've seen two male ballet dancers together.
Yes.
With it was two ballet guys. One of them was Jim, I remember.
The other one was Alex, the one where he played his dad.
No, but that also happened. So we've seen some of these like kind of intimate same gender routines. Also, there was one with Neil and Kent.
Yeah, but that was, they played brothers. Like, there's always, we've seen exactly one same sex any routine of any kind really that had romantic undertones, and it was a group routine by Travis, and it was right around marriage equality stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, I'm pretty sure that I can think of, there's only been one that had a romantic tone. There's certainly been lots of like two guys dancing, but they always have some sort of story. Like there was the Robert and Tucker one, there was Kent and Neil, there's one I think it was Kent and Robert, maybe, where they, one was Travis and one was Danny. That's my Danny reference. Because they were playing brothers, and like it was a Travis routine representing his story with Danny and all that kind of stuff.
So are we saying that Travis and Benji gyrate was not romantic?
Yeah, that was the first time we saw two guys dancing together, right?
I think so, because they were the top two.
Yeah, and they didn't do it in season one.
No, they did not.
Yeah, but that was a hip hop routine. And then for a long time, they defaulted to hip hop when they were having to do. But anytime they were doing two guys together, it was always hip hop. And then even actually the first time I remember, the first season they had All Stars was season 7. And it was very, very gender normative and everything was in partners. And then there is something about they would show the draw out of a hat and all the All Stars were lined up. And it got down to it, and Alex Wong still hadn't picked, and Twitch was the only all-star left. And it was like this big deal, like, wait, there aren't any women left. Is Alex not going to get to dance? And then that was out of your mind. But it was like,
of course,
it was a weirdly big deal, even though it was just a freaking hip hop routine. Like, relax. Yeah.
Well, so, maybe Jenna Johnson is here to break down all of your gender barriers about
They're not my gender barriers. I'm just being realistic about who Jenna is.
All of America's gender barriers.
And let's face it. She's picking Kiki. Let's just cut to the chase, people.
All right.
Moving on. Anyway, the other thing I wanted to point out, I don't think we saw the one person early on pick Comfort based on energy. But other than that, I feel like we didn't see anybody join Team Comfort at all.
There was one girl who came out of the door and was like, I'm on Team Comfort, but I don't know who she is. And we didn't see the process actually happen.
Yeah, Team Comfort got very little screen time, although she's just such a delight of a human being. When during the Jensen deliberation, she leans over and says, I don't think she was better than her. And I'm clearly like, right. So we all know that the producers are heavily hinting that Jensen should be picked over some other person who was dancing, like the other woman in those two pairings that were dancing simultaneously. And she was just like, I don't think she was better.
Yeah.
I love her so much.
Comfort, the voice of reason.
And then Robert, the voice of dumb. Anyway, he got rid of her, so it's fine. I forgive him. He's handsome. Moving on.
We got Alexis Gilbert. She was our generic jazz dancer, Nigel must love her person from this season.
Yeah.
That's what I remember.
Yeah.
But
she was good in this round. I just remember thinking she was super mediocre.
Yeah, she is still undrafted going into this round. She snatched it up at Teen Jenna, but she is then cut in the group round.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do? I did think in this section that Christina and Paul is going to be a formidable combo if she is who gets through on his team. Although I have another pick that I think he should go with if he's going to break his ballroom trends a little bit.
Okay, we will talk about it. Let us move into the group round. We've got our top 40 in the group round.
Did you like this format? I really liked this format where all of the drama was in flashback, but I know it was less drama, so that might have bothered you.
There was a couple things that I took issue with about this. I didn't love the flashbacks, first of all, but I understand they had to do it because they were so rushed this episode. The thing that most annoyed me about this, I think, was that The groups are based around the teams that they're already in. So it's all groups of four. So it's like all of Team Paul is doing their routine together and all of Team Jenna, what have you. And one person must be cut from each team. So normally with the group round, there's this idea of like, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats. If our whole routine is really good, then everyone will make it through. But this just puts them in direct comparison with each other where they have no incentive to make the whole routine good. They just have to be the best one in the routine to make sure that they don't get cut. So that kind of bothered me. And there's just none of the, like, you know, entire groups can go through or entire groups can get cut in normal group routines. But this one, it's like if Allison's team, you know, every single person on Allison's team could be better than every single person on another team.
And they are.
Right, exactly. But still someone has to get cut. And it doesn't really matter because ultimately only the best person from each team is going to go through anyway. So it's only the difference of like one day or one round or whatever. But I didn't like that there wasn't really an incentive to have an amazing overall routine because it won't benefit you if you're the worst one in that amazing routine.
This is true. However, if they keep this format the same for multiple seasons going forward, as a Survivor fan at heart, you may start to see some emergent gameplay where you see people like volunteering to do like take the choreographic lead like Logan did, but then proceed to like purposely choreograph somebody into a hole and just like throw them under the bus for self-preservation.
So you think you can dance strategy,
right? See, that seems like a show you would like even more.
I guess so. Yeah, I think that you're right. But ultimately, I don't know if mean-spiritedness is really something that So You Think You Can Dance should be moving towards.
I mean,
audience.
I thought every single person who got eliminated was eliminated with such grace. Like everyone took it so well. And there was a lot of talk about like this was such a great learning experience and I had so much fun. And you didn't see that weird bitterness that you get on a lot of other shows. I was really impressed.
Yeah, especially because we had teasers of people like throwing things and crying and stuff, and then just none of that actually happened.
Super stupid. Oh, before we move too far into the group round, something happened before the group round that we needs to be addressed. This, when Kat was talking to everybody on the stage and the, basically like the intro of the group round, and they had all of the all-stars sitting on these like high chairs, and then their teams like littered at their feet, like the storytelling scene in The King and I. And I was just like, what is this? This looks so strange. And when you think about people like Lex and Gabby, who are peers, it's just like, here's this like person. I just thought it was
so sitting
funny.
Like the mother of dragons while it's everybody is
so everyone was gathered at their feet like little chickens, like little like your babies. It was so funny.
Oh my god.
Anyway, I just had to bring that up because it was
No, I had a note about that as well. Yeah, well now I'm just gonna have King and I songs stuck in my head and just imagining
you know
all the all-stars singing getting to know you.
She has the big skirt and they do a lot of choreography like in and
around. Getting to know you. I think that's the song.
Yeah.
Just imagining all the all-stars doing that. So speaking of
go ahead.
No,
I actually think the natural groupings of the teams I liked because we got to see it sort of solidified a little bit more who was on each team, because I felt quite strongly throughout the whole episode that we needed, like, the graphics department needed to really step it up. I would have liked like a lower third, like updating game board sort of thing where it filled in the squares with people's faces or something like that to really remind us visually of who to keep the team straight and who was with who. So even just having them grouped here, even though almost everyone was montaged, it was at least a little bit helpful to have them sort of reiterate who is in what group. Although I agree about the competition within themselves, but I also like that they didn't have to do that weird like popularity contest issue of like, I don't have a team. That always comes up at this part.
Yeah. It wouldn't be a reality show if people didn't talk about flashbacks to high school.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And like this totally avoided that.
Even though some of these people are still in high school.
Yeah. This section was also deeply disturbing because we got some seriously weird dynamics between Christina and Vasily where I was just like, their power dynamic is not good.
Yeah. Well, my transition was going to be because we were talking about The King and I, speaking of mediocre musical theater, that is exactly what Paul's group routine reminded me of. It was like they were in like these Grease, You're the One That I Want outfits, but like sexified to kind of like all that jazz, but it all looked like a third grade dance routine.
Poor Paul. I will say that I think that the one non-ballroom girl on his team I think really is better than everybody else. Like I think she stands out among this truly mediocre crowd that is Paul's team.
Yes. So, like you said, we get a flashback to their process and Christina and Vasily, who are married, correct?
I thought so.
Yeah, they do not seem to be madly in love with one another.
But it was strange because they sort of framed it almost like if you weren't paying that much attention, you might have thought he was just having a conflict with one of the other dancers.
Right.
It was 100% of, and they were sort of pretending the whole team was in conflict, but it was actually just the two women standing off to the side watching a married couple fight. It was so weird.
Yeah. Another notable thing about this, the traditional Indian / contemporary dancer is here.
That's
on
who
this
I was
team.
Talking about. She's the only non-ballroom dancer on his team, and I think he should pick her, but I think he's more likely, I think he's going to pick Christina, but I really like her. I don't know her name again. I don't know why. They just don't tell us her name very often. But like, I think she's lovely, and I think she'd make a really good pair with Paul. And I would like to see him try and have someone who's not ballroom, but I think he's going to pick Christina.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. So it is routine. Vasily goes home.
Thank God.
Not surprising at all. Yeah.
And like to confirm my earlier theory, Paul's team is now all women because a ballroom guy is going to have a team of all women. And actually, Jenna, same thing. Her team is now down to all men.
Oh, that is a good point due to some strange swaps that we'll get to in a moment.
So speak like I was going to bring this up when Cyrus asked somebody to dance for their life, but that this is maybe a good time to bring this up as well. So with what's about to happen with Jenna, do you think that the producers walked them through like a bunch of different possibilities of what could happen here? Or do you think they're kind of making things up on the fly? Like, is this when Chris Harrison comes in and says so-and-so decided to cancel the rose ceremony and you know that the producers made that call and they're pretending that the Bachelorette made that call? Or is this Sean Lowe giving out like 17 first impression roses because he gets to do whatever he wants and the producers are forced to pretend that that's okay?
I think that the producers probably told them that creating drama is good. So, you know, telling people to dance for their lives is fine. But I also think that there's probably some just like we can do whatever we want. And if it goes too far, then producers will intervene and it won't make the show. So I think it's some of both.
Because The Voice has a mechanic built in about where they get in the battle rounds. It's the part where they're trying to whittle down their teams. So their team is competing against each other and they have to cut. It's like head to heads and they have to cut one. And each of the coaches has one steal. So they can pick up the rejected contestant of any other coach from the battle rounds. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering if this was like something that they said, hey, you guys can keep this in the back of your minds as a possibility, knowing that you will then have to pick. Can't get rid of two people, or if Jenna was just like, I just really want him, and the natural consequence is, if you let me get away with this, I will cut two people and it'll work out and you have no reason not to let me do this.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible that Jenna's just a big fan of The Voice, how this works.
I mean, maybe. Although it is, I think, telling that not definitely her best person, but in my opinion, the best person on Jenna's team was the person cut from Allison's team, is how good Allison's team is.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is that I think that this could have been a good move for Jenna, even though I ultimately don't think that she's going to end up going with him.
She just loves Kiki so much. She brings it up all the time.
Yeah, I just think that anything that is like vaguely within the realm of this whole procedure is fine with the producers, and creating drama is a good thing.
Well, either way, I'm a little bit disappointed in Allison because I thought she should have cut the girl, first of all, who, again, no idea what her name is. But I was disappointed that she cut the only person who wasn't her style from her team. However, yes. I'm really happy he's still here. So and actually, Team Jenna, in my opinion, needed somebody who I was really rooting for them because she didn't have anybody I liked. And I don't, you know, we've had this conversation before that she's never really struck a chord with me either. So I really wanted to have somebody who I was really rooting for on Team Jenna. So I actually think this swap worked out perfectly for my viewing enjoyment.
I'm so happy that they were able to accommodate that for you.
Yeah, no, they really went to bat for me today, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, well, I want to call some foul play, some producer intervention here, because Allison's group's song was Sign of the Times by Harry Styles, which is like one of the greatest songs ever. And Paul's team had such a crappy song that I just think that the producers are setting this up. How could Sign of the Times not want to make you do the best dancing of your life?
Do you want to know how cool I am? I'd never heard any of these songs before.
I didn't know what Paul's song was, but it was it sounded super lame to me. But
I've already forgotten about it. It's possible I know that song quite well because I'm super lame and I just don't. Like, I couldn't tell you. I wasn't paying any attention to the music.
Well, this is Harry Styles, one of his finest.
All right. And maybe they are setting up Allison for success. I think that little Holker boss unit is very important to the show. I think that as soon as what's her daughter's name? Ricky or something like that?
I do not know.
I don't know. As soon as her daughter's old enough, we're going to see another one of those darn kids seasons. I think that they're really interested in maintaining a good relationship with the Holker boss family. And I could see them setting up Allison a little bit.
Yeah.
Especially versus Paul. Care about. You won't,
right,
you
exactly
won't see her elevated over Fiction, but you might over Paul. Poor
yeah,
Paul.
Well, we didn't even see Fiction's team, so.
Yeah, we didn't. Okay, this was ridiculous to me. Like, it's like a 30-second routine. Show us everybody. Like, I know there's only so much you can do in an hour. And last week we went on and on about how much we enjoy the fact that it's only an hour. But this needed to be two episodes.
Yeah.
We absolutely don't know anybody.
Yeah, it's sad. And we get to see like 2.5 of these groups. It's just not. Yeah. And like none of the drama that comes with the group, we just didn't get any of it. So like we said, Allison's team was fantastic. She cuts Kevin, but he is immediately redrafted onto Jenna's team. So she must do a double eviction from her team. She ends up cutting JJ and Alexis. And this is the point where I am more okay with, you know, I mentioned that I didn't like that it was possible for one team to have all people who are better than everyone on another team, but still have the same amount being cut. Once it was like, okay, well, if someone's cut, another person can just snatch them up. That kind of redistributes the fairness.
How was Allison's team actually the second to perform, or do you think this was out of order? Because if she was actually fairly late in the process, and a bunch of and this really was something that Jenna just sort of thought of doing instead of something the producers told them they could do, I wonder if there are other people who would have done the same thing if they thought of it and she, you know, but there were people who went earlier.
Yeah, I really don't know. I imagine they edit it in whatever order they want, because they also say that Jenna's last and she has to do this dramatic double elimination, which I don't know if that's really true. Yeah. That would have worked out very well if that was the actual last group to go.
But it is an advantage, because Paul, for example, couldn't pick up one of Allison's people because he already had cut from his team. Yeah. So in order,
and he can't
to
just
do that,
be like, actually, guys, come back in here.
Yeah, I'm getting rid of you as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it is it's sort of a weird, inherently unfair, strange thing, almost like you'd have to do all of the performances and then line up everybody and have everybody announce who they were cutting sort of in a row. But even then, there it's just not really possible to do. Unless you're up front with every, yeah, no, there's just no way to do it totally fairly. It's weird.
Yeah, I have no solution. Maybe they'll reverse the order next week or something.
Oh, right. Yeah, because we've still got to do this another couple times.
Yeah, we've got more academies. So now everyone is down to 3 people on their team. As we mentioned, Jensen is cut from Robert's team. So great investment, Robert.
And Kat. She's VOing this, and she's like, there were lots of more cuts, including some early standouts. And then she just shows us Jensen, and we're like, no,
she's
nobody
a standout
because
you made her a standout.
Nobody thought she was an early standout. Just because you gave her lots of screen time does not make her a standout. It just makes her a time suck.
Yeah.
But they did cut Matthew, who I would say was actually an early standout.
Yeah. That's true. There were some people that I actually remembered from auditions going home this episode, which is more than I can say probably for last week.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So we're down to 3. Then we are next week. We're heading to Sonia's round and then some sort of other partnering round where they're going to decide between their last 2 people. A little not quite sure what that is yet.
Yeah. It sounds exciting.
Yeah. Should be fun.
Yeah, so it's going to be, like you said, Jazz with Sonia. And I think it's going to be like, you know how at the end of the Green Mile, they would have 2 people come in and be like,
sorry,
there's only one.
I just started laughing because I thought you were referring to like the Tom Hanks movie. And I'm like, what is this going? At the end of the Green Mile when they execute the guy.
I've never heard of that film.
What? Oh, you're so young. So very young.
Okay. Not sorry. Big on movies, but I mean the thing where they determine the top 20.
Yes, that is what it's called. It's just funny. Yeah, it's named after the death row, like the thing. the it's where you live when you're like about to be executed on death row. It's called the Green Mile.
Yeah. Well, that certainly colors my perception of that whole concept.
Yeah.
So at the end of that, every season, there's always 2 people and it's like we've got one spot but only one of you is going to make it, and it's very dramatic. It looks like it's going to be that but 10 times, like the 2 people who are left on each team are going to come in together and the all-star is going to pick between them.
Yeah, but they're going to do some sort of thing wherein they dance with them before that, so I'll be interested to see how that works.
Yeah, test drive.
So I tried to make a list of predictions of who are going to be the partnerings, but I don't remember anybody's name. So I have Six predictions. And I'm wondering if you can either argue with them or fill in the other four for me.
Oh, I cannot. I don't have any of this written down.
Okay. So we're just going to go through them. So okay. Allison, I think she's going to end up with Logan Hernandez.
Yes, I agree.
Jenna, Kiki. Although I think Kevin is a bit of a dark horse, but I think Kiki.
Listen, Jenna's got some great hip hop in her.
She does, but I think her heart is with Ballroom and her heart is with Kiki. And she just talks about him too much to not love him.
But you gotta, I don't know with Jenna, because it is a different style every week. And she could bang out the best Ballroom ever, but he couldn't even pick up the choreo in hip hop.
Yeah, no, she should pick Kevin. But I literally think she's got the hots for Kiki and can't. I just think she's like 21 years old and doesn't have it in her to not pick Kiki.
Okay, I'm going to go against that. I think that Kiki's going to make it to the top two and she's ultimately going to realize that she needs to make a smarter decision.
Okay, but she's definitely not picking whoever the other person on her team is, right? It's definitely Kevin or Kiki.
I mean, I can't make a prediction because I have no idea who they are. So
literally can't. I have no idea who that is. Yeah. Robert, any idea? I have no clue.
Well, they montaged all of the people that he got picked up. It was just like, okay, Robert picked Alexis, who was then immediately cut, and then three other people.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have their names, but I don't know who these people are. He has Jonathan Wade and Jennifer Florentino.
I feel like we liked a Jonathan or in early auditions, but hard to say if it's the same Jonathan.
Yeah, I don't know.
So sorry, Team Robert. I do love Robert, but I don't think he has anyone we've met before. So unless he has some crazy dark horse who's just going to come out of nowhere and just got a bad edit, who knows? But we'll see. Who knows about Team Robert? Fiction's got to pick Desi, right?
Yes.
No contest. Any idea about Jasmine? I feel like I have no idea who's on Team Jasmine.
No, they showed her her whole team with, you know, they did a couple times where they showed the square with all the people in it and like the all-star posing next to it. And I don't think I took note of anyone on Jasmine's team.
Well, that's what I was looking for when I was making this list. I was like, surely somebody screen grabbed those graphics and made me a cheat sheet. And nobody did. Internet. Yeah. Do this. How did you not do this? You've had a whole 24 hours with this. Yeah, so that would have been very helpful. But alas, and I also think that those graphics should have been like, that's what I'm talking about with the lower thirds. Like they should have been using them to help us and they didn't.
Yeah.
Okay, Jasmine, Paul, I think Christina, although the lovely Indian dancer, I think is probably the better bet. But I think he's more likely to pick Christina.
I think that he's absolutely going to pick Christina.
Yeah, too bad. Cyrus, my money's on Kaylee, the blue-haired girl.
Impavido.
We haven't seen Impavido at all, though. And this Kaylee girl's gotten like a lot of little throwaways.
No, they are the same person, is what I'm saying.
Oh. Then why do they keep calling her Kaylee? She asked to be called Impavido.
Yeah, because believe it or not, the show is probably not super respectful.
But Twitch got to be Twitch.
I know. I don't know what it is. If she told them like, oh, this is just a nickname, but you can call me whatever. But they are the same person.
Oh, well, then hell's yes, because I don't even know who else is on Cyrus's team.
Yeah.
OK. Marco, girl whose name we can't pronounce.
Yes. Quine.
Are you sure?
Quine.
No, you're not sure.
I have no idea.
Somebody send us a phonetic correct spelling and or a video clip wherein someone uses this name.
Yeah, I think it definitely sounds like queen in some sense. I think it's like Queen.
I'm going to say it's Quine because I think that sounds cool.
Okay.
Do we know anyone else on Marco's team?
I do not. He was another person that there were a couple montage people.
What about anybody on Team Comfort?
I got nothing. I'm
and
looking through my notes.
So yeah, whatever.
Absolutely.
That's everybody. So Jasmine, Robert, and Comfort are the big giant question marks of clearly the producers are not interested in them, which is too bad because I'm very interested in all three
favorites.
Of those people.
Yeah.
And if it weren't for this one girl, Marco would be in that group too. And Marco is my favorite. So like, who knows what they're doing here?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just want to like go in and oversee the editing process and just fix everything for them.
Become a producer.
Yeah, I'm sorry, listen. Think you can dance. They need, I do think that like partway through a series, like especially a reality series, they do need someone to come in who's been watching the show with an outside perspective and who can come in and be like, look, this is what we're not able to follow. And this is the stuff that you're assuming we understand because you see all the footage, but you did not give us enough footage for this.
Yeah, yeah. That's fair. That should be a job that we get.
Well, that is a thing in theater. It's called the outside eye, and it's like an important part of the development process is you bring in someone who has nothing to do with the production to just watch the show and tell you what you're not noticing because you've seen the whole the development process. It's very
interesting. Yeah. All right, well, that is our episode. I didn't mean to like move on from that. I think it's a really good point. There's just nothing we can do about it.
That's true. I mean, that is also a classic. Like, I just did a big monologue, and then whoever I'm talking to just goes, so moving on.
I'm with you. We can tweet at them, but the season has already been filmed. At least the Academy has.
It's all futile, too. It's just fans shaking their fists, right? It doesn't actually amount to anything.
Yeah, well, that's why we're here, to let people shake their fists with us.
Yes.
And to talk about Danny Tidwell.
Yeah, well, yes, exactly. And just center stage. That's all I need to say.
Yes, okay.
So, yeah, we are here for you fans. We have the same problems as you, and we will mention them on your behalf. If you have other problems,
just like you,
let us know what those are. We will gladly air them.
Yes, that transitions nicely into wrapping up. Please interact with us, comment on our podcast. We really enjoy it. We've had lots of comments that have been so helpful because as we've mentioned, we do not know what we're talking about with this new format. So yeah. Everybody has really had our backs and not been super unkind to us about not knowing the rules.
Yeah, because I respond to almost every single comment on the site, because they've all been nice. I will not answer you if you're mean. They've all been very nice. So I've answered basically every single one. And I'm loving that people are keeping an eye on things like World of Dance for us. Yes. So we don't have to.
Yeah. That is very kind of them. You can subscribe to the Reality TV Rehap-Ups on iTunes to make sure that you get this podcast, that you get American Ninja Warrior, which Taryn and I recorded today. That is already out, I believe, about the first round of finals. So make sure you catch that. You can also get on that feed a lot of me talking about Big Brother. I've been doing some live feed updates and was also filling in on the roundtable last night, the LFC roundtable. So that's been very, very fun. Lots of me in that feed right now.
Lots of Lita. Yes. Like a lot of Lita, which is upsetting for me because she doesn't like Paul, but you know, whatever.
I'm the only one who still likes Paul though.
So like I'm out on an island by myself.
Not Paul from So You Think You Can Dance.
Oh no, but I do like him too, but he made some questionable choices this week. So I like him a little bit less.
We're just concerned for him.
I'm worried about him more than anything. Yeah. It's not that I've maybe lost a little bit of respect, but I haven't lost any of my love.
So you can find me on that feed, and you can always leave iTunes reviews and star ratings for the Rehap Ups and mention us on there if you want to give us some love that way, help people find the podcast. You can also find me on Twitter at Lita Tweeted and on Instagram at Lita Grammed. Kelly, what is going on in your world that you want to promote?
Okay, so we have tons of stuff going up from my weekend at Comic-Con at myentertainmentworld.ca. Really good stuff there. Lots of videos because I mostly do video. Tom wrote all sorts of articles. So whatever is your jam, it is up there somewhere. And our Twitter and Instagram are both at myentworld, my ENT world. It's mostly me doing the tweeting. So if you're looking for reality TV thoughts for me, that's the place to go. But it's also the company feed. So you'll see all sorts of other stuff, too, including article tweets.
Amazing. I'm excited to see where you're going next. You're such a jet setter.
Yeah, I'm almost done, though. So I have Stratford tomorrow. And then I have the Summer Works Festival, and then I have some Niagara on the Lake for the Shaw Festival, and then a few screenings for the Toronto International Film Festival. But then I'm done. Then I'm just going to like stay home and hang out with my dog for a couple months. It'll be great.
Oh, is that all? Just those things, and then you're home free.
That's not that many. That'll be fine. Somewhere in there, I'm going to Bruno Mars concert. I'm really excited about that.
Oh my gosh, amazing! I bet he puts on such a good show.
Right? He seems like he puts on a good show. It's mostly because he tries so hard. Yeah, I like how much effort he puts into things. It's cute. Yes.
Well, have fun with everything that is coming up, and we will recap, as always, your adventures while I have done nothing in between next week. I just stay here and sit in my podcasting chair.
I'm willing to bet you'll be on more podcasts.
It's very possible. No spoilers. So thank you everyone for joining us. This has been very fun, and we will see you next week.
Bye everybody. So you think you can get it?